Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Real life is not a game. If you get behind the wheel intoxicated, you're gambling with your life and the lives of others. Play it safe and designate a sober driver. Learn more at chpddp.com. This message is brought to you by the California Highway Patrol.
Hey, this is Stephen A. Smith from No Mercy. Festivals, football, flannels. Some say fall is their favorite time of year. And this fall, there are now updated COVID-19 booster shots designed to help protect against COVID-19 variants. If you've had your primary series, schedule an updated COVID-19 booster shot appointment as soon as you're eligible. And don't forget to enjoy the foliage, sponsored by Pfizer and BioNTech.
Take Man Podcast from Odyssey Sports. All right, Logan, I should have said this earlier in the podcast, but I will say this now. We're going to try something next week that we've never done before. We're going to do a live show. Now, it will not be like live. You can come see us. You can't come to my house or Logan's house where we are sitting recording this. But you can join us on this, our little virtual studio. And so what we will do is we will have more details on exactly how you can join us on Tuesday. We're hoping to stream live on YouTube. Make sure you're subscribed to the Odyssey Sports YouTube page, because if we can pull that off, that is where we will be doing it. But we will likely open up our little digital studio here and let some folks on to ask us questions, quote unquote, in person. So that is going to be part of what we do next week. We'll try to schedule an interview for the other day on the podcast. So we'll catch up with someone in the Commanders universe on Tuesday. Or sorry, for I guess, well, we got to figure out Monday's pod too. So we'll have more information. I just realized, oh crap, we have three pods next week. So we'll try to have some interviews, and then we will do this. We will tape it on Thursday, and it will be the release on Friday. In the spirit of taking some questions, we got this one from Kyle Colombo, who also takes like some regular mailbag questions in that pod as well. But he sent this to you on Instagram. You sent it to me so I could read it on this here podcast. Hey, Logan, big fan of the content. Would greatly appreciate your take on the offensive scheme from Scott Turner. Personally, I have not been a fan of Turner since he came to Washington, but especially this year. I understand we don't have a franchise quarterback, but there is no reason we shouldn't be scoring in the mid to upper 20s every game with the level of talent on offense. At some point, it's got to fall on the coaching staff. I could go on and on about the Giants game, but that rant could go on forever. He saved your inbox from that one. The last thing I'll mention, which to me is absolutely disgraceful, harsh, is the fact that Terry McLaurin didn't have a red zone target until the game against the Falcons. Anyways, would love to get your perspective on the offense. Thanks. So I want to like distill the question down into kind of two parts. Mm-hmm. One, when someone says the scheme, like what
we could really do
is
a whole show on this, by the way.
Yeah,
this
would we should. And to some extent we just did, but like we just spent 45 minutes on 2% of things that we think could help. Right. But like that's the level of detail that really exists in the NFL. There's a reason they prepare for 6 days to play on one.
Yeah.
But when someone says the scheme, like to you, what is the scheme? What does that even mean?
Well, I think if you look at like, you know, Scott Turner versus Norv Turner, that scheme, it's a very specific type. And I think that the scheme as defined by that parameter was much more on display earlier in the year when Carson was a quarterback. This kind of deep passing, longer developing stuff, you know, was one of the reasons the offensive line was putting so much stress. And I think he's actually done a really nice job kind of shifting gears a little bit, getting away from that, kind of saying that's not what we can sustain long term. So, you know, in answer to this guy's question, that sounds to me like an offensive coordinator who's thinking outside the box and making changes, right? They've kind of shifted to this run-first approach. I think Ron is probably a big driving force behind that. And I think I mentioned this on the last show. I think Scott, you know, for all of his warts, has done a really nice job of, in the confines of this new run-first offense, developing play-action pass shots, getting guys touches, making easy throws for Taylor Heinicke, and then also kind of knowing when to sprinkle in variations off the duo, variations on like the toss crack, like that type of stuff, the jet sweep stuff. I thought that was a really, really nice innovation that they brought out. Was it against Atlanta or maybe the week before? It was a big feature, right? Curtis Samuel right. Getting a lot of touches. Green Bay was a big one of those, right? Getting touches on the perimeter to kind of complement this inside zone run. Again, finding easy throws for Taylor. Taylor's done a nice job of kind of getting the ball where it's supposed to be. I mean, the third down execution, the Philly game, was masterful. Like, the play calling in those situations was really good as well in terms of the passing game. So as much as people want to kind of dig at Scott because they're not scoring points, and I get that. They're not scoring a lot of points, and that's very, very frustrating, but that's more of like a red zone diagnosis. I really think this has been, to my eye anyway, Scott's best year since I've been covering the team. And it's because he's challenging himself. He's messing with expectations, and he's elevating the offense. He's elevating an average to below average offensive line, and he's elevating an average to below average quarterback. And I think that's him. He's done that. And so as much as people want to say, look at what Kyle Shanahan's doing, Kyle Shanahan has one of the best offensive lines in the NFL. He has skill position players out the, you know what, and a quarterback that is very, very good at executing that scheme. He doesn't have that here, really. He's got a guy he's kind of working around, and this kind of handcuffed him. So I personally think the scheme has changed, and I think Scott has done a nice job of conducting that change to support an offense that is more efficient than it's been, even though it might not be scoring quite as many points.
No, I 100% agree. I didn't love every call on Sunday, and there's some situational stuff that we talked about on the last podcast. But, you know, I think Scott, previous to that, had been like a 4 or 5 week just heater where I don't think he missed a whole lot. The red zone stuff is, that's also something maybe we can talk about. We can do a little red zone self-scout. Maybe we'll do that for Monday's pod or something like that.
But just real quick on the red zone, if you look at every play in the red zone, there's opportunities there. Like the throws, he's created open throws.
And what I was going to say is the red zone's hard to execute. And when you have a quarterback who can't really throw balls in tight windows very well, and you don't have an elite big receiver, you're throwing some of your fade routes to Cam Sims, all due respect to Cam, who's like not bad in those situations, but it's not like you're throwing it to Devontae Adams. Cole Turner has not really been able to develop a connection with Taylor. Logan Thomas has been in and out of the lineup and is not really like a jump, even though he's like got that big body. It's not like he's a former basketball player, who's great jump ball guy. And then Terry is smaller in terms of elite receiver height.
Maybe more importantly, you have a small quarterback. And in the red zone, that's a huge thing, right? And that's one of the reasons why they liked big receivers when they were in Carolina, is because it's easy to see those dudes in the red zone. They're just bigger targets, right?
Right.
So, like I said, there's an open throw to Jahan where he doesn't throw it on time. Like, he misses Bates late. Like, you're going to be hard pressed to find a bigger guy than Bates in the red zone. So, the touchdown to Bates in Atlanta was a beautifully designed play. So it's there. It's just the execution, in my estimation. That's the thing. It's the execution of the scheme that has led to lackluster offensive production in the red zone specifically.
Right. It's so tough to score down there. And it's why I think they've been better in like the high red zone than they have like mid red zone. Like, they're better off at the 12 than they are at the 5. Yeah. Because the space just becomes so condensed, and that's such a great point about him being able to see. But like, it's bleeping hard to score down there.
Yeah.
And that is somewhere where like someone like Wentz is a little appealing, because you potentially do hit some of the bigger shots down the field earlier. They've got to be better in like the green zone. They've got to be better 40 yards and then hitting some of the shots. And Taylor has hit some of those in some of their higher scoring games. They've gotten those big plays where it's like 45 yard big plays, even if you're not getting the 80 yarders that you get with Wentz out there. Obviously there's other downsides there. But I think in general, like Scott's been pretty good. And when you watch the tape, like you see the opportunities available. And, you know, I think, you know, Kyle in his question blows past the obvious thing. Not only do they not have a franchise quarterback, like if you look at like the Ringer's quarterback rankings, I know everyone loves Taylor here. And he's, in my opinion, in your opinion, the best option for this team right now. But he's like the 30th ranked quarterback in the NFL.
Right.
You're not, that's not even like a below average. That's like bottom of the barrel starting quarterback. And so the fact that they are consistently able to do anything with a quarterback at that level is pretty remarkable. It's a credit to their skill position guys. It is a credit to their offensive coordinator. And sometimes just because the answer doesn't change and it's unsatisfactory doesn't mean that a new problem has actually arisen. The problem has been the same the whole time. They don't have good quarterback play. And that doesn't mean that Scott isn't getting better. It doesn't mean that, you know, anything else. The answer is the same now as it was in 2020. Their quarterback play is not very good. And when they get a good quarterback, they will probably score a lot more points. And their inability to find one, I think, is actually more of an indictment of the market than it is of them.
Right.
They tried. Now, did I like the Wentz move? Absolutely not. I think that was a miss, right? Like, I think you're better off spending that money on, you know, your offensive line. And I think that's borne out, obviously, over time. Who knows how Carson would have developed? It's a hypothetical. We can't know. But there's not 32 good quarterbacks. Not every team gets one. You know, that's just the reality of the NFL. And so unless you're going to get your scout right in the draft, or something weird happens where a actual good quarterback becomes available in free agency and he chooses to sign with you, or you get to trade for one, okay, but that typically doesn't happen because teams don't let go of good quarterbacks. They do, and they spend absurd money to keep them. And so that to me is the core of the issue. The offensive line issues that we've talked about, how limited, I think, is the best way to describe this offensive line. Yeah. You ask them to do very specific things, run duo, go ahead, hit the guy in front of you. Like, they can do it. But it's when you don't have a lot of time and you don't have a quarterback who can create time and or make big throws or do a lot of the other things that people not named Taylor Heinicke can do, it's just tough. And so they're averaging 19.5 points a game, but that also includes like a 12 against Chicago that was Wentz, an 8 against Philly that was Wentz, a 7, I think it was, against Dallas that was Wentz. With Taylor, like, they've scored. What I think I'll wrap up with this thought, Logan. They know what they're getting. When we talk about high ceiling, high floor, low ceiling, low floor, like, Taylor is high floor, low ceiling. And every single game, with the exception of Philly, they've scored, I think, between 17 and 23. And Philly would have been in that had they not had the goofy lateral fumble at the end of the game where they accidentally scored 32. So they know what they're getting each and every week. And to establish that level of consistency with this group, I think, is actually a credit to Scott Turner more than it is an indictment of him. That's how I would wrap that thought.
I think that's a perfect way to wrap it. And just Chris was the guy, right, who asked the question?
Nope, that wasn't his name. What was his name? Sorry, buddy. Kyle.
Kyle. Sorry, Kyle. It's a CT, man. Strikes again. Anyway, the what I'll say is that, like, are there things that I wish Scott would do differently? Yes, but that's also like, that's just life. In the, that's like, coordinators don't always do the same thing. I think when I step back and I say, is what Scott's doing, is what he's doing working? Yes, like, he's getting open throws, he's creating open opportunities, and I think that's where you have to kind of humble yourself and say, this is different than what I would be doing, but it still is an effective solution. And it doesn't always look pretty, but I think to Scott's credit, like, the way the play action game has developed is a huge testament to him. Like, he's done that. Like, they've done that, him and Ron, him and whoever, Zampezi, whatever, whoever's working on that. That's been awesome to see, the making the jet sweep fakes more viable by giving those guys touches there. That's been Scott, like, calling those plays, calling runs that pair with duo, all that stuff. And that is that's good offensive coordinator play. And I think, you know, Ron always says, you know, Scott is a very young play caller still. And I think that's something that we often forget, is that, like, this is like his third year calling plays, and you're starting to see some growth and maturity. And you know, like, is it always pretty, Kyle? No, it's not always pretty. But I do think he's done some really good things that make me say, okay, like, let's improve the offensive line. Let's see if we can find, you know, maybe a better quarterback, like, long-term moving forward. And you say, this offense has the makings of something to be very special, especially with Scott improving in that area.
Oh, by the way, they're also 6-1-1 in their last 8 games.
Yeah, man. Like, holy. And again, like, it's not just the – that's the other thing. Last point here. That's not the only thing you're doing. It's how does your offense fit in the context of your team? Like, if this was a bad defense and you said, oh, we got to go out and score 30 points, this offense, I guarantee you, would look different. It would look drastically different.
You'd be the Lions.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. That's a great – that's exactly what you'd be. You'd be taking more shots. You'd be being way more risk of you'd be tolerant, encouraging more risk. Yeah, risk tolerant, thank you, offensively, because you knew you needed to do that to win games. That's not what this is. You are basically – Ron has basically said in every talk that I've had with him is – we want to put the defense in the best position to be successful. And the way to do that is to possess the football, play conservatively, and that has bore itself out in a very nice way. When the only reason that the Giants game is even close is because the offense makes a mistake and they have a turnover on the 20-yard line going in, right? So if you can limit those mistakes, the defense is good enough to – I don't know, you can't win a game with defense, but you know what I'm saying? It's to keep you in a close game.
Well, that's the thing. The defense can keep you below your offense's floor, right?
Yes.
Because if we know they're going to score 17, the defense needs to not give up. I mean, they literally won the Colts game 17-16.
Yeah.
That's, you do that, that's a win.
Yeah.
And so if they can continue to do that by not, and that's the thing. It's like, well, okay, if they would score more points, that would be better. Like, yeah, but if you score more points with two more turnovers, that's worse. And I think that's legitimately what we're talking about here, is one to two more turnovers per game, plus a defense that would give up more, not just because of the turnovers, because they would be more tired. Allen and Payne wouldn't be out there as often, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, that was really, really great stuff. If you like it, make sure that you're subscribed so you can get more of it. Perhaps we'll do this again on Monday's pod. So here's what we need from all of you. You can tweet me at Craig Hoffman or message Logan at Logan_Paulson82 on Instagram. Or you can leave a comment on this video. I say this video because you might be watching a clip of this on my YouTube page, youtube.com/@CraigHoffman, or on the Odyssey Sports YouTube page, perhaps even on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube page. Our content gets dispersed out into the universe in a variety of places. So wherever it is that you're watching, I have access, and as does Matt, to all of the comments. So just leave a comment and let us know what you want us to go deep on early next week. So go ahead and leave those comments, send those messages, and we will pick a couple of other items, probably some on the defensive side since we went all offense today, to go deep on for Monday. We will do more to get ready for New York, obviously, next week as well. And then we will do our first ever live show next Thursday night. We'll have all the details Monday and Wednesday on the pods. For Logan, I'm Craig. We'll see y'all next time. Like, subscribe, etc. Peace. Make sure you're subscribed wherever you're listening right now, because obviously if you're listening there, our podcast is available, and then you can subscribe there, and then you can have it anytime we put out a new episode.
Anytime you want it. And it helps us out, guys. Help us out. Help us help you.
If you don't want to do it for your own listening good, do it for us. Be altruistic, or whatever that version is.
I like that. Yeah, that's a good word.
Many of us are already planning our New Year's resolutions to work out more in 2023, but let's face it, they rarely stick. Well, Peloton's got a gift for you. Get up to $200 off accessories like non-slip grip dumbbells, cycling shoes, heart rate monitors, and more with the purchase of a Peloton bike, Bike Plus, or Tread. Don't wait. Get this offer before it ends on December 25th. Visit onepeloton.com. All access membership separate. Offer ends December 25th. Cannot be combined with other offers. See additional terms at onepeloton.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly
Auto Parts. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.